Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast from Charlotte, North Carolina. Your host is Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. Prosperity preachers have turned tens of thousands of devotees into willing dupes for predatory lenders by convincing them that the Bible promised them homes they didn't work for, full of good things they didn't buy. Faith megastar Rod Parsley is a prime offender. With reckless abandon, he exhorts followers to experience abundance and luxury as a means of producing its reality.
Some of you better get ready to drive around in neighborhoods where you never thought you'd be able to afford to live. Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
However, despite the powerful pull of false hope, many have left this movement and are now experiencing joy and light.
Hi, my name is Laura, and I have been involved in the Word of Faith movement, specifically with Joyce Meyer for about 8 years. I also listen to Joel Osteen every Sunday. And my problem started when I started believing everything that they were saying. I got into a business with some apartments that I owned, and I started putting money into them and more money. And I got to where I ran out of money, and I had lost everything that I had. It was only then that I woke up to the fact that God doesn't do everything that we want Him to do. And looking back, I could have stopped all of this 2 years ago if I'd listened to God instead of listening to Joel. The Bible Answer Man said formula. That's a word that I coined for it also. I'm coming out of all of this now, and God is wonderful. He is so much better than trying to force Him to do what we want Him to do. Thank you.
If you'd like to receive a copy of Hank's landmark Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, just call our Resource Center at 888-7000-274. Or you can go online to www.equip.org. And now, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
And this is day two of Christianity in Crisis 21st Century. Yesterday, we considered the very notion of Word of Faith theology, that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. We also looked at the whole notion codified by the phrase little gods, the idea that dogs beget puppies and God begets little gods. And if we exercise God's faith like God exercises faith, we can have anything we want, a palace like the Taj Mahal or a Rolls Royce in our driveway. In fact, Frederick Price, the famous, or I should say infamous, televangelist, says the Bible says that Jesus left us an example that we should follow His steps. Then he goes on to say this, that's the reason why I drive a Rolls Royce. I'm following Jesus' step. Well, the obvious question is this, why do prosperity preachers redefine faith as a force? Why attempt to talk their devotees into believing that Adam was an exact duplicate of God? No difference, no distinction. Why perpetuate the pretext that every born-again person is as much an incarnation as was Jesus Christ of Nazareth? What's the point? Well, the answer might surprise you. Turning the gospel of grace into a gospel of greed takes a complete revision of what faith preachers describe as quote-unquote traditional Christianity. Jesse Duplantis is a classic case in point. He addresses televangelist John Hagee's Cornerstone camp meeting, explaining that God is his comforter because when you got some stuff, it brings you comfort. Jesse's reasoning is remarkable, to put it mildly. After clarifying that he's not just a millionaire, but a multimillionaire, Jesse says to Hagee, "The Lord, I give him the glory, is my comforter. He is my comforter, Dr. Hagee. I live in comfort." That's not only spirituality. That's physically too. Because when you've got some stuff, it brings you comfort. And then Jesse goes on to pontificate that those who would say otherwise know nothing about the Bible. In other words, I know nothing about the Bible. With great aplomb, he claims to quote Jesus saying, "The destruction of the poor is their poverty," and then challenges those who know nothing about the Bible, like myself, to explain that. Well, I could do that. This is biblical revisionism. First, to say that Jesus is our comforter and that he gives us a comfortable lifestyle might well be said to be the height of cultural conformity. In fact, Jesus warned, "Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And then the Lord tells his disciples a parable. It's a parable of a rich fool who was looking to possessions as his security. Jesus didn't condemn possessions, but he pointed out the foolishness of a temporary rather than eternal perspective. Not mincing words, he said, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you." The Master's command has always been this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. How unlike the message of Duplantis and company. They relentlessly hawk the idea that prosperity is the divine right of every believer. They hawk a brand of Christianity that is little more than baptized greed garbed in a thin veneer of Christianese. Let me make one more point. Jesus did not, as Jesse declares, say that the destruction of the poor is their poverty, nor did he suggest that financial comfort was the destiny of those who placed their trust in him. Instead, he said, "Woe to you who are rich, for you already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry." In other words, his message is the inverse of that of Duplantis, who pontificates that poverty is a curse, or of John Hagee himself, who likewise communicates that poverty is a curse and that it's a result of sin. Well, we hear people, as you did in the open to this broadcast, like Rod Parsley, who has his parishioners practicing the preposterous. He instructs them to chant, as you heard in the open, "I'm on my way to houses I didn't build." And he says, "Some of you had better to get ready to drive around in neighborhoods where you never thought you'd be able to afford to live." Likewise, if they follow his formulas, they are on their way, he says, to cars that are beyond their means. Some of you, he says, better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things that has the leather all over it. And if someone inquires about their strange behavior, Parsley has a ready response. He says, "Say, well, I'm just feeling out what my father's going to give me." And if the questioner persists, Parsley programs his devotees to say, "I heard a word from the man of God, and it unleashes that anointing into my life, and I'm on my way to houses I didn't build, full of good things I didn't have to buy." Tragically, Joel Osteen and other prosperity preachers are similarly disposed. Like the subprime mortgage lenders of days gone by, they urge followers to reach beyond their means. All of this, of course, is consistently sanitized with a semblance of Scripture. Creflo Dollar, for example, says, "Don't you let them tell you you can't have a brand new car, because if Jesus rode in on a donkey that no man had ever sat on than you and I can ride in an automobile that no man has ever sat on. Think about that kind of reasoning. You got to listen to him for yourself. It is a mind blower as he talks about how the substance of the house you want is faith substance.
The substance of the house you want is faith substance. Before the wood, before the tree, before the seed, there was the substance. And when you get the substance, then you can get the seed, which will bring the tree, which will produce the wood, which will build your house. But without faith stuff, you have no stuff, because faith stuff is the stuff of all stuff. Take away the faith stuff, you ain't got no stuff. Get the faith stuff and you can get some more stuff, because you got the main stuff.
And if you listen carefully to people like Creflo Dollar, there's always a constant refrain. The way in which you demonstrate that you have the faith stuff is by giving. Not traditional giving. The kind of giving that ultimately opens up the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing that you cannot receive is the give-to-get kind of giving. The error of giving to receive, however, is very clear when you look at Scripture. And it has now metastasized into the error of giving to receipt. If Joyce Meyer, who seems to have learned well at the feet of Oral Roberts, she says, when I talked to Dr. Roberts today, we talked about this seed faith thing, and he said something awesome. The awesome insight, according to Meyer, was the word receiving means receipting. And the way it works, says Meyer, is that when you give, you get a receipt in heaven, and when you have a need, you can then go with your receipt, and you can say, see, God, I have got my receipt from my sowing, and now I have a need, and I'm cashing in on my receipt. Her shallowness is breathtaking. Instead of gleaning formulas from her mentor, she should have been developing fellowship with her master. Because far from having to go to God with receipt in hand, we go to God as children knowing that he cares for every detail of our lives. While we might want intricate formulas to get things from God, God wants intimate fellowship. Indeed, it is out of this very intimacy, it is out of this kind of fellowship with God that everything else flows. And you have prosperity preachers tricking people with fast food formulas that are a conformity to the culture, and thus the Christian becomes not a transforming agent in the culture, they become like the culture. And in this milieu, we have to recognize that when we give with grateful hearts. We give because we want the gospel to go around the world. We give because we see the downtrodden and the needy. T.D. Jakes says, if you get 1,000 by giving 1,000, it's ridiculous. You just broke even. That's not Christian theology. When you give 1,000, if you never got a dollar back in eternity, if it was invested for those eternal verities, there is a reward. It's not about temporary prosperity. This is not our dwelling place. We're just passing through. Christianity in Crisis 21st Century deals with all of this and much more as a brand new breed of prosperity popes has landed on the scene. The book refutes their errors and shows you the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. It's available now on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can order with our resource consultants at 888-7000. 274 or P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Don't touch that dial. We've got a lot more coming.
This is Keith from Bonner Springs, and I read the book. In fact, I have two of the books, so I can give one to somebody whenever I feel they're in a faith movement church. But I was in one, and they consistently talked about money. All the people like John Anvizzini and all those others would visit and talk about the tenfold increase. And even I at the time could tell that it was wrong. That wasn't what that passage meant. And anyway, now I'm in a good Bible-believing church, and whenever I have to move, I apply everything I've learned from that book to make sure that I don't get confused by the teachings of that church. I can't thank Mr. Hanegraaff enough for the books he puts out, and I can't wait to get a copy of the new one. Thank you again.
Hank has packed his book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, with solid biblical content and airtight refutations of the teachings and practices of the new breed of prosperity preachers. When you order Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, we'll send it to you as our thanks for your gift to help CRI respond to the tens of thousands who are looking to us for answers. This resource is available in hardcover, autographed, and a special leather limited edition. To order, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't go away. Hank and today's program will be right back after this. It's the 21st century and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship.
Considering it's Mother's Day, a great time to honor your mom and husbands, to honor your wives. Bring them on a great vacation. Let them relax in the beautiful Caribbean sunshine.
To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online at equip.org.
Join us this year for the trip of a lifetime.
Monograph is convinced that if occult sources such as The Secret pose the greatest threat to the body of Christ from outside the church, then the deadly doctrines disseminated by this new crop of prosperity preachers pose the greatest threat to authentic Christianity from within the church. Hank Hanegraaff has packed his book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, with solid biblical content and airtight refutations of the teachings and practices of the new breed of prosperity preachers. When you order Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, we'll deliver it to you as our thanks for your gift to help CRI respond to the tens of thousands who are looking to us for answers. This resource is available in hardcover or special limited leather editions that can be autographed and personalized. To order, call 888-7000-274 or go online at www.equip.org. Let's hear now how another listener found hope and truth.
I was at one time in the homosexual movement, and then from there I moved to the Word Faith movement, so needless to say, I was very messed up. And because of your ministry, I was able to find out how to read the Bible for all it's worth. Your ministry has been such a blessing to me. Keep up the good work. Don't ever back down, because you are one of the very few ministries out there that helps us Christians see the light. And I thank you so very much.
And now, once again, here's our host, Hank Hanegraaff.
My apologies for not taking a lot of calls today, simply because I want to give you an overview of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, so that you can get this book as a tool to make a difference in our generation. Look, even as Jim Baker was coming to a true valuation of things in a 20th century prison, a new breed was rushing into the void in the 21st. And John Hagee has been leading the charge. There's one theme that John Hagee is fixated on. It is the covenant contract that God supposedly made with Abraham. Supposedly, I say, because of his version of it, because as he puts it, the good news to the poor is this: Christ took your poverty on the cross and gave you the riches of Abraham. Then he goes on to explain the curse of poverty has been broken at the cross. If you have the anointing, you don't have the curse of poverty. If you will practice the principles of prosperity in the Word of God, this says God will make you the head and not the tail. The Abrahamic covenant is so prosperity potent that, according to Hagee, God will give you wells you didn't dig, and he'll give you vineyards you didn't plant, houses you didn't build. Not only that, but when Satan comes to you, says Hagee, and attacks you, God will make the devil give it back to you seven times over. You know what? John Hagee would do well to listen to the words of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The old covenant, says Spurgeon, was a covenant of prosperity. The new covenant is a covenant of adversity whereby we're being weaned from the present world and made meat for the world to come. If Hagee and company are right, if prosperity is indeed a promise and poverty a curse, Apostle Paul would have been among the most cursed of all men. And yet, far from being cursed, Paul was content. He said, I've learned the secret. This is the real secret, folks. Not the one by Rhonda Byrne. This is the real secret. The secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Sadly, however, John Hagee is oblivious to the obvious. So he compounds his previous errors by supposing that God's covenant with Abraham is rooted in riches. That, however, is clearly not the case, as I explain in Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. God's covenant is ultimately rooted in redemption, not riches. Well, John Hagee says if there is not one verse of Scripture in the New Testament that says Jesus came to be Messiah, this is an incredible thing, he says. And if Jesus refused by his words or actions to claim to be Messiah to the Jews, then how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered? He's not content with this cultural conformity. He puts an onus on Messiah that is blasphemous. If there is one common characteristic of faith preachers like this, it's their failure to read Scripture in its intended context. He takes the text out of context phenomenon to a whole new level. Not only does he take texts out of their immediate and broader context, but he perverts the entirety of the biblical message. What's particularly disturbing is that he makes Christ the object of his pretexts with bravado that, quite frankly, boggles my mind. He asserts that the Jewish people wanted Jesus to be their Messiah, but he absolutely refused, and then goes on to say the Jews were not rejecting Jesus as Messiah. It was Jesus refusing to be Messiah to the Jews. A clear perversion of the overarching context of Messiah's teaching is hard for me to envision. Anyone, layperson or preacher alike, anyone who has read through the Gospels even once knows that Jesus emphatically contradicted John Hagee. And he did it throughout the entirety of his earthly ministry. Who can forget his emotionally charged words as he's leaving the temple? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. But what about the words of the Apostle John, who said he came to that which were his own, but his own did not receive him? Common decency alone should have been sufficient to absolve Jesus from Hagee's unwarranted implication of self-contradiction. Giving Jesus the benefit of the doubt on a matter of this kind of grave consequence might rightly have been deemed an interpretive imperative. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Indeed, the author of eternity does not contradict himself, and he does not confuse his hearers. Context, context, context is always the antidote to the compromise and the confusion and the contradiction of Christ and his holy word. Make no mistake, what we're talking about on the broadcast today is not some kind of ivory tower debate that has little relevance to the real world. The deadly errors communicated by the faith movement have all kinds of implications. And I want to turn a corner here and talk for a moment about the implications with respect to sickness and suffering. The deadly error of denying symptoms daily produces all kinds of casualties. Some of you may remember the call. We played it again on the broadcast during this series. It was from Kirk, and he calls the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and when he spoke, I had, quite frankly, a lump in my throat, because this was about his mom. Ideas have consequences. She migrated from Pentecostalism into the Word of Faith movement. And then a lump appeared in her breast. And she purposed to deny the symptom and reject medical treatment. She was so committed to the faith message that even as the tumor continued to grow, she stood her ground. It wasn't until the tumor had become, as Kirk described it, a weeping sore consuming most of her breast, that she finally sought out medical attention. And by that time, it was too late. 6 months later, she was dead. And even at the funeral, the Word of Faith people lauded Kirk's mother for denying her symptoms. I'll never forget his anguished words on our broadcast. He said, "It sickened me to watch people from her church come to the front and praise her for what she had done and for the tenacity of her faith. It was just mind-boggling." Well, look, what's equally mind-boggling is that long after Kenneth Hagin began popularizing the notion that symptoms are merely satanic subterfuge, the new breed continues to perpetuate this error. Joyce Meyer, of course, is the prime example. Her worldview is as convoluted as it's dangerous. She says it's vital for us to understand that it is illegal for Satan to put sickness on us, and there is no good reason to let him do it. It was illegal for Satan to kill Jesus, but he was able to do it because Jesus allowed him. Why? Because Jesus was going to use Satan's illegal action to bring salvation to the world. So it's illegal, she says, for Satan to bring sickness on us, and we must stand against it. Then she says, the moment we begin to recognize the symptoms of sickness, we should stand against them. We need to resist them in the same way we should resist the temptation to sin. How? She asks. By his stripes we are healed. Have you heard that over and over again? By his stripes we are healed. That, my friends, does not pertain in context to physical healing. We are healed of our transgressions and our sins. The text says as much. And Peter builds on that theme by giving us a commentary in the New Testament. The meaning cannot be mistaken. And yet, these faith teachers pervert the scriptures to the ruin of their followers. If possible, Jesse Duplantis takes absurdity and blasphemy to a whole new level. He says, when the devil tries to put sickness on me, you know what I say? Jesus, take your shirt off. I'm going to play that clip on the other side of the break. I want you to hear the blasphemous tone and recognize the consequences. Again, ideas have consequences. It's a reason I wrote Christianity in Crisis 21st Century. It's available right now through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. 100% of the proceeds go to the ministry. When you get it through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, on the World Wide Web, you can order in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org, via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Again, a book that desperately needed to be written. We'll be right back.
I just started reading Christianity in Crisis, and the truth that's in there and the Bible references are phenomenal, especially since just over these recent years you start hearing some of the exact same quotes that some of the faith teachers are using, and they never really fit right with my spirit. And this book has taken what I've always speculated and put it into words. And then, most importantly, has referenced the Bible, and I really appreciate it.
Hank has packed his book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, with solid biblical content and airtight refutations of the teachings and practices of the new breed of prosperity preachers. When you order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, we'll send it to you as our thanks for your gift to help CRI respond to the tens of thousands who are looking to us for answers. This resource is available in hardcover, autographed, and a special leather limited edition. To order, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't go away. Hank and today's program will be right back after this.
Now, Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose, and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist:
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
Order this DVD and the entire Lee Strobel 3-disc film collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Bible Answer Man is here to stand for truth and help Christians understand and contend for the historic Christian faith.
My name is Brenda, and I listen to the program in Oxnard, California. To sum it up, I listened to TBN all day, every day, for years. I believed everything that they said to me. I believed every one of the ministries. And I never bothered to open my Bible until one day I found Hank Hennebath and the Bible Answer Man. I am happy to report that I no longer believe them. Because of my getting into the Word, I can now discern lies from the truth. I have been freed from that horrible, horrible place. I would like to thank everyone at CRI very, very much. God continue to bless you.
The truth is, it simply takes resources to fulfill the unique and vital ministry that the Christian Research Institute does daily. So we're asking for your fervent prayers and financial participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, the CRI Fellowships, or the President's Council, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-274. Or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. Get your copy of Christianity in Crisis 21st Century by calling toll-free at 888-7000-274 or online on our secure website at www.equip.org 24 hours a day. That's EQUIP.org. Don't forget to check out the autographed and special leather limited edition options.
And now here's our host, Christian Research Institute President, Hank Hanegraaff.
We're talking about symptoms on the other side of the break and how people like Joyce Meyer will tell you a pretext, a scripture, that by his stripes we are healed. Therefore, when you begin to recognize the symptoms of sickness, you have to stand against those symptoms. Of course, as pointed out in the last segment, these faith teachers have, with premeditation and forethought, stripped the Word of God of its meaning. And you have people like Jesse Duplantis in the Word of Faith movement making absurd statements with respect to symptoms. Not only absurd, but dangerous.
People ask me all the time, Brother Jesse, I've been watching you for years. I've never seen you sick. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I use the evidence that God has given me against the devil when he tries to put sickness on me. Let me just give you a revelation. When the devil tries to put sickness on me, you know what I say? Jesus, take your shirt off. He go, what? I said, take your shirt off, Jesus. And Jesus takes his shirt off, and I tell the devil, you see them stripes? By his stripes, I am healed. You understand? I got evidence that God, it ain't got nothing to do with feeling it. It ain't got nothing to do with me feeling it. It's got everything to do with Jesus' back. So all you got to do is stand up and say, I got evidence that I'm healed before I ever got sick.
And of course, if you have the evidence, why go see a medical doctor? Of course, Rod Parsley is equally convinced. He says, settle the matter once for all. God does not want you to be sick. Thus, when the believer continues to suffer with physical ailments, according to Parsley, he is only himself to blame. He has some pretty strong statements to make with respect to healing. He says, healing's just a fact.
Now, I know what your slick-haired, shiny-shoed evangelist told you. I know what your backslidden preacher elected by the church board for his Las Vegas-style ability to sway this thing called a personality cult that we used to call the church. I know what he said. But I'm here to tell you what Jesus said. He stands on the precipice of time and eternity. He lifts his hands to the Father and declares, I will. Will you? I will. Will you? I will. Will you? Don't you think if it was his will not to heal you, there would have been at least one time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John where he said, no, I'm sorry, leper, I can't heal you because I put that on you to teach you something. Dear God, write some of this down. Where there is doubt concerning the perfect will of God to heal, faith cannot exist. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. I'm about to make a startling statement. If God had not wanted to heal you, he shouldn't have. Healing is not a promise. Healing is a fact. Isaiah 53:5 declares it.
I'll tell you, as I listen to him shrieking, and as a father and a husband myself, it's just hard for me to imagine a crueler contention than that doubt-filled prayers produced the death of family members, a contention made by Rod Parsley. I talk about that in Christianity in Crisis 21st Century. This is particularly the case in view of the fact that according to Parsley's own theology, his son, Austin, is plagued by the demon of Asperger's syndrome and has been denied healing due to doubt or lack of faith. Remember, ideas have consequences. The biblical writers make plain that sickness and suffering are the lot of all who walk the planet. Since the fall of humankind, both the righteous and the unrighteous have been subject to disease and subject to decay. In the book of Romans, we read that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth. And not only that, but we ourselves groan inwardly, says Paul, as we wait eagerly for the redemption of our bodies. And Paul sums up this truth when he writes, the body that is sown is perishable, but It's raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. And he makes clear that our frail and fragile bodies will not be changed now, but rather when we are resurrected from the dead. Then, says Paul, the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. And for that day we yet wait, whether we want to or not. The faith teachers have taken the words of Scripture, prostituted them, and people around the world are feeling the pain. Christianity Crisis 21st Century, it takes all the errors of the Word of Faith movement, exposes them, but more than that, it gives you the antidote. Genuine, biblical, satisfying Christianity, peace in the midst of the storm. Not a panacea, peace in the midst of the storm. Let's go to the phone lines. Paul, listening on the web in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you doing, Hank? It's so wonderful to speak with you, and thank you so much for your program, and God bless you, sir, and your ministry. I called because everything that you're saying tonight is right on. A few years ago, my wife at the time was diagnosed with breast cancer. It later metastasized and went to her brain, and it was inoperable, and, you know, the inevitable was going to happen. So we were believing for, of course, the Lord to heal her, and of course, we were seeing that his ultimate healing was going to be for her to stand in his presence, and we were just convinced of that. I'm a pastor, and I've been preaching for many years, and so we believe we were teaching the right word of God. My wife had so much time at home after this sickness that she began, you know, watching a lot of Christian television, and she started watching Benny Hinn. And she was so convinced after watching Benny Hinn for a few months that he was going to heal her, that she was going to be healed. And so she asked if we could go to one of his crusades in nearby Orlando, Florida. So I agreed to go with her. At this point, she was almost blind because of the tumors in her brain. She was unable to walk very well and that type of thing. And so we and our two small children, we went down and went into this arena filled with people, of course, and tried to make it down front to go to prayer. And when we got down to the area, there was a number of lines that were set up, and we'd never been in a situation like this before. And so he had a number of people posted, and so we said we wanted to go because we wanted to be prayed for. And so the gentleman in the line looked at my wife, and he saw her condition. And, of course, you know, you could see very clearly how sick she was and that it, you know, it wasn't going to make a good presentation on television, obviously. And so he immediately moved her out of that line into another line, and he says, "This man here, he'll pray for her." And he just that quickly, he moved her over, and this guy, he laid his hands on my wife's head. He said this very cursory, very quick, perfunctory prayer. It was just like over with and done. And then he just shuffled her on. And I'm sitting there almost astounded. I'm saying, is that it? And, of course, on the stage, there was all the theatrics going on and people falling down and people jumping up. And everybody, of course, was completely oblivious to what we were dealing with. And I still remember making that slow walk back up to the top of those stadium seats, you know, guiding my wife because, again, it was a painful walk down and a painful walk up, and sitting there and realizing how we were duped and how so many people were being duped by this theatrics and this, all the shenanigans that were going on. And thank God, though, you know, we never lost our faith. My wife never lost her faith. She went on to be with the Lord in 2004, and we give God glory for her witness. But I'm just so astutely aware of what you're speaking about, and it is so true. It's a lie, and these false hopes are given, and people, sometimes the weakest and in their frailest moments, they start depending on these lies, and it's really a false hope. And
Paul, let me tell you this. I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but you called at a providential time. to close this broadcast, because the point that I've been trying to make is this point: ideas have consequences. This is not an ivory tower debate. This is something that hits people in the real cauldron of life. I'm so sorry we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do go to the phones and order from our resource consultants at 888-7000-274, Christianity Crisis 21st Century Edition. Order online in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. Or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And please be generous with this ministry. We can't promise you a give-to-get scheme. We're talking about investing in the lives of people for time and for eternity. I've taken on something that's going to have dramatic consequences once again, just as it did the first time. I'm going to lose a lot of support and listenership, but this is not about a popularity contest. This is about making a difference while there's yet time. Stand with us, won't you? Prayerfully and financially together, let's bring the true light of God's Word to a terribly confused generation. God bless.
Thank you for joining us these past 2 days of special programs discussing Hank Hanegraaff's resource, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore. And in the early 21st, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with even bigger platforms, like Joel Osteen, John Hagee, and Joyce Meyer, who are increasingly viewed as mainstream. Order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century right now by calling toll-free at 888-7000-274 or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org 24 hours a day. At the Christian Research Institute, our ministry is supported in so many different ways, and one of those ways involves non-cash assets. These assets include things like cars or real estate, and just as with cash donations, these gifts are tax deductible. To find out more about the types of non-cash gifts that you can donate to the work and ministry in the various outreaches of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just visit our website at www.equip.org. And once there, click on the Donate button and then select the Give a Non-Cash Donation option. Again, that's on the World Wide Web at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.